Blog Talk Radio.
It is wicked. Those that don't know how to be pros get evicted. A woman could bear you, break you, take you. Now it's time to rhyme. Can you relate to? A sister's open up to make you holler and scream.
Hey, yo, let me take it from here, queen. Excuse me, but I think I'm about due to get into precisely what I am about to do. I'm conversating to the folks who have no whatsoever clue. So listen very carefully as I break it down for you. Merrily, 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 high to happy overjoyed. Please, with all the beats and rhymes my sisters have employed. Look, cause we're throwing down the sound totally. A yes, let me state the position. Ladies first, yes?
Yes.
Cause when it's time for loving, it's the woman that gets from strong, stepping, strutting, moving on, rhyming, cutting, and not forgetting. We are the ones to give birth to the new generation of prophets, cause it's late.
I break into a lyrical freestyle. Grab the mic, look at the crowd and see smile. Cause they see a woman standing up on her own two. Sloppy slouching is something I won't do. Some think that we can't flow. Stereotypes, they got to go.
Got to go.
I'ma mess around and flip the scene into reverse.
With what?
With a little touch of lady first. Divine and my mind expands throughout the universe. A female rapper with a message to send. The Queen Latifah is a perfect specimen.
My sister, can I get some?
Sure, Moni Love, grab the mic and get dumb.
Yo, praise me not for being simply what I am. Born in L-O-N-D-O and sound American. You dig exactly where I'm coming from. You want righteous rhyme and I'ma give you some. To enable you to aid yourself and get paid. And the material that has no meaning I wish to slay. Pay me every bit of your attention. Like mother, like daughter, I would also like to mention. I wish for you to bring me through the rhythm of which is now systematically given. Desperately stressing, I'm the daughter of a sister who's the mother of a brother who's the brother of another. Fuck one more. All four have a job to do. We do and it respect due to the mother who's the root of it. And next up is me, the M-O-N-I-E-L-O-V-E. And I'm first cause I'm a L-A-D-I-E.
Contact and in fact, the style gets harder. Cooling on the scene with my European partner. Laying down track after track, waiting for the climax. When I get there, that's when I attack the next man or the next woman. It doesn't make a difference. Keep the competition coming, and I recite chapter and verse. The title of this recital is Lady First. Step out into the night. Queens of civilization are on the mic. The scene is ripe, the crowd is hype. I expel the whack and those who bite. Why? Cause I'm that type, swaying with beat 45 King style. He wants me to sing, but I'll swing for meanwhile. A footnote for the opposite sex. Moni, rip the mic, I rock it next. Plex, you never catch me at my worst. You get the drift? It's late first.
Hello, welcome to the Queen's Table for the Black Panther podcast. Anyone that would like to call in, tonight the number is 516-387-1261. That's the number you can call to listen in, and if you wish to be added into the conversation, you can press option 1. Joining me is Sister Deidre Harris. And
good evening.
Hello. How's it going?
good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Where do you want to start?
Right now, everybody's talking about the boycotts that have been taking place after the rioting and the peaceful protesting, and I think that we're off to a good start. I just don't want the movement to lose momentum because I know that there's a lot of soldiers out there on the front line protesting constantly, daily, and they feel like nothing is really being done at this point. But I promise y'all, if y'all keep it going, it's been years and years of this going on. It's going to take years of building ourselves back up. Just keep going.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And the thing is, we have a lot of brothers and sisters across the nation that's joining us, you know, in this. So we're not in it just here in the United States. You know, we have our Black brothers and sisters from other places joining in. And, hey, with numbers, we have strength. So we're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it happen. So, and, starting with our green dollars, you know, I guess they want to say that we're pro-Black when we want to. That, you know, since we've been putting emphasis on boycott and spending our Black dollars at, you know, the stores, at Black-owned businesses. But what is it called when they spend their money at their own stores? You know, we don't call them, you know, pro-white or pro-Asian or whatever. They've got their money. They have our money. So now we want to, you know, put some of our money where it should be, you know, with our Black people that have legitimate businesses, you know, and if they can't understand that, well, they didn't need our money in the first place. So,
exactly.
With that, I yield.
I also, you know, it doesn't have to be anything hard, you know, trying to buy Black, it doesn't have to be anything hard. You can start off little by little searching on Facebook. There's a site on there called We Buy Black, and there's a bunch of apps on the Play Store on your iPhone, on your Android. All you got to do is type in Black businesses. There's a lot, and I was surprised. I looked today. There was a lot of apps that had recently came out in regards to buying Black. So it's out there. The information is out there, y'all. You just got to get there and get to it. I yield.
Yeah, I guess right now we're going to have to make Google like our best friend. I mean, we Google it for everything else. We Google to find out, you know, who might have the cheapest Nike or, you know, the best sell on bundles. I mean, why not use it to find out where Black businesses are located so that we can go there and spend our money? I shared a post that I had seen not that long ago earlier on Facebook where it had a listing of, I think, like 50 different restaurants in Houston. Well, I'm a few hours from Houston, but I'm pretty sure some Black people down there that would love to eat at one of those 50 Black-owned restaurants. So I shared it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's something that we can find on social media or that comes across our page that people, you know, share, if they're sharing their Black businesses, you know, don't hesitate to share. You might not be there, you know, in that particular city, state, or town or whatever, to utilize it, but someone on media is in that area. And one of the best advertisements is, you know, word of mouth, and right now, social media. You know, mm-hmm. Who needs business cards? So, with that, I yield.
Not at all. I really think it's imperative that we start incorporating buying Black into our lives until it becomes second nature. Like, it would be what's best to eventually buy completely Black. We could start funding our own stuff and becoming fully independent so we don't have to depend on a system that we're out here boycotting that we know is not going to let us in. And even if they did, they're going to give us a bunch of hassle and bullshit to be in it. So
right.
Why not go the best route and just buy Black and keep your money Black? That would be the best and the best choice for us. especially because we need funding on our own. We're going to need funding for our own scholarships or in buildings and health and all that stuff that we're trying to boycott for. So I think it's really imperative. I yield.
Okay. And one thing that I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I know there's going to be a few people out there, well, you know, that's going to want, like, well, can't you cut me a deal? I'm supporting your business. First of all, you're not going in there asking Walmart, Sam's Club, Costco's to give you a deal because you're spending your money there. You know, these black businesses, you know, they're trying to get off the ground. And if you're giving other companies, other businesses that are not black, if you're giving them your money, don't be asking these people, well, can you give me half off or whatever. Support them. And I'm pretty sure when they grow and get a little franchise, open another business, the more businesses they have, maybe they can come down on, you know, prices, you know, just a little. And if not, what the hell? The money is staying with us within our community, you know. So we're going to have to get out of that mind state also, that just because we're giving black people our money, our business, you're also getting a service from them or a product. You know, don't be trying to cheat them and jip them and, you know, the bull crap that comes. Because, you know, it's going to be one or two people out there. And I know a few personally that would do something. Oh, I'll shop from them. What kind of deals they have? Anyway, I yield.
Oh, my goodness. I think we have two callers on in the queue if you want to let them on.
Okay. When you come in, please state your name and let us hear what you have to say.
This is Brother Mark and Brother Kevin.
Oh, okay. Two of our favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, Queens. How are y'all this evening?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm getting ready to make both of y'all really, really mad right now.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I agree with the boycott, and I agree about the energy, but the problem that I have is that everybody's talking about boycotting for a day or boycotting for a week. And then, you know, they're trying, I saw some silly post where, you know, they 7-day boycott beauty businesses this day and retail stores this day. And what they had at the bottom of it was these with asterisks: buy everything you need prior to that or on the day off days and this and that. And it pissed me off because, you know, this system been shortchanging us since we got here, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we're so, and pardon my Caucasian talk, but so fucking trained that we actually go along with it. We're like dogs that have been trained to behave a certain way, and we limit ourselves from doing what we need to do. This isn't even our movement anymore. This shit's been hijacked. You know, the riots in 92 was pure frustration and anger. Mm-hmm. And while it got quelled, that did rise, and it went to different cities and everything else. And, you know, they got everybody to go back in, but that was not enough to get any police reform done. It tore up a whole bunch of businesses in our own communities. Yeah, it tore up some and others too, but we damaged ourselves. And what I see is we keep damaging ourselves because we keep limiting ourselves. We keep telling ourselves we have to do this a certain way. It's kind of like, you know, we want to let them decide what size rock we throw at them. And I'm just like very frustrated with that way of thinking. In 1955, when they decided in Birmingham to not, I mean in Montgomery, for the bus boycott, they did not give any, well, you can ride the bus if this is the situation or, you know, if that's the situation. No, sacrifices were made. Some people walked miles to get to work. Some people walked miles to get home. You know, but it forced people to have to be a little bit more creative and have to work with each other. And the object of the boycott is to send a message to the system, but it's also to remind us of why we're doing it in the first place.
Right.
And if we keep doing this, you know, we smacking or plucking when we should be punching and kicking. And I guess it's just starting to piss me off because we ain't going to never get shit like this. We're never going to get nowhere with these pebbles. You know, and that's what they are. They're pebbles. System already knows they've been shitting on us. 30 days ago, all of these people, white and black, didn't give a damn about what was going on out here. And now all of a sudden, everybody's in the street and everybody got an idea and everybody's got a plan with no fucking plan. No plan. Everybody is still trying to go spend money with these places. And it's like we can't wait to spend money with these places, but we got to struggle to spend money with our own.
Right.
I'm starting to wonder what the fuck is wrong with us. And with that, I'm going to yield.
Well, I believe Sister Deidre had mentioned that this is something that we should be doing anyway, not just, you know, a couple of days or a day or 24 hours, mm-hmm. 7 days. This is something that we mm-hmm. need to implement, period. You know, period, bottom line. And the part that you said as far as it, this movement being hijacked, I can agree with you on that because it's almost to the point where I'm seeing people that out there that I'm pretty sure wouldn't, like you said, could care less about our situation or things that have actually been going on, you know, with our, you know, black people. And it's sad that something like this had to take place in order to light a fire up under some of our asses who are serious and passionate about making something happen or making a damn change or a difference, you know. But I don't know what it's going to take for all of us to get one code. Everybody have a damn code, you know. The Karens have a code. The officers have a blue code. What the hell do we have? You know, we've got to get one code, whatever that damn code is. Huh?
We got chitlins.
We got chitlins. Oh, you know. I'm a vegan, so I'm leaving that alone.
I heard that.
Leave that one alone. Yeah. If we can... We can't change our people's mindset. They have to do it themselves. If they can get to a point where they realize that all this damn designer shit ain't going with you because, okay, you might be buried in all this stuff, but the last funeral I went to, we didn't even see the casket go in the ground. They had it right there, and then you leave. We don't know what the hell they opening up and taking out of there. No, you can't take it with you or whatever. But black people, if you got these designer purses, these $300-$400 bundles, these damn $200-$400 shoes and all this other shit, and you have to do a damn GoFundMe to bury yourself, that's not good. That's not good at all. You know, I guess that's... our people's way of having their heaven on earth, if that's what you want to call it. I don't see anything wrong with enjoying things, you know, that you work for. pleasures or whatever. But at one point, you know, are you leaving anything for your children, any type of legacy or anything that they can stand on? And we've got to get to the point where we can build businesses. If we don't even start one, we can help someone else. You know, okay, we spend our money there. Maybe they can open another business and then another and then another and another. And that's leaving legacy for blacks somewhere down the line, even if it's for their kids. I don't have the money to start a business. My son, he's been fortunate. He has three. So he'll be able to leave his kids something. I have a nice insurance policy. Unfortunately, when I go, my kids will definitely be taken care of, and it'll be enough for them to take care of, you know, their kids. You know, but we've got to do something as a people, and we can't keep depending on, I don't even want to say handouts. I think on one of our calls, we had said, you know, why do we keep getting the damn, you know, crumbs from the table? Damn it. I want the table. And with that, I yield.
Yeah, but when we built the table, then we deserve way more than the crumbs. And I think that we keep minimizing our part in this. America was built on the first law enforcement, which was the British Crown, trying to impose a tax, and they wind up shooting five or six people, Crispus Attucks being one of them. So, you know, the knee on our neck was the way they built this country. The strike, the stroke from the whip on our backs is how they, you know, grew this country. You know, bullets and all of these other things for those who opposed. They had a plan that, you know, that kept them, you know, in a position and kept us in a servitude position for 400 years. You know, so we can't say that it can't be done, but we have to actually stop limiting, you know, what we're willing to sacrifice to get it. Because whether we like it or not, we're already sacrificing. You know, I've gotten to the point where I don't want to see any more videos of us being murdered. As I saw, you know, last night, the video of the young man in Atlanta sleeping, you know, he fell asleep in the drive-thru. And I'm not going to sit here and condone anything that he was doing that was out of order. What I am going to state is that nothing that he was doing deserved him to be killed. Nothing. You know, he fell asleep in the drive-thru. That means he's obviously got a drinking or some other issue, okay? And I didn't see where, you know, these cops didn't, it didn't, if it took these cops 30 or 40 minutes, they talked to him for 45 minutes. If it took them that long to realize not only was he inebriated, you know, and everything else, if they had to talk to him that long, to me, there's a point where they already knew and now they were just fucking with him. You know, and what bothers me about it even more is it made me look at some of our behaviors and what we do to attract these devils into our cipher. And you know, we really have to be, we're going to have to get hardcore. We have to get hardcore. You know, this soft shoe shit is just not going to work. You know, I'm sitting here watching how we've allowed several groups. Black Lives Matter is not a black group. Black Lives Matter is LGBTQ agenda dressed as a black agenda. And it is not our agenda. Now, like I said, I appreciate the energy. I'm sorry?
I said, tell it, man.
Oh, you know, and you know, what bothers me more about this, I guess, is that once again, I see us winding up with nothing. At the end of the day, winding up with nothing. while Congress is coming out there in kente cloth, not one of these motherfuckers ever pushed any reform legislation knowing how many black people were murdered. They see the same news that everybody else does. They have, you know, all of, you know, they knew a lot of this stuff before we did. And they did nothing. But yet they come out and they patronize us by wearing kente cloth as if they are, you know, siding with us. When Colin Kaepernick first took a knee, none of these people thought about that. They talked about the flag and the military. They talked about everything but why he was kneeling. Everything came on the table except why he was kneeling. And then when they were stated, oh, he's not patriotic. Hey, he's playing football. That ain't got a damn thing to do with being patriotic. That's playing football. That creates nationalism. That's what makes a person say, I'm a Bulls fan or I'm a Knicks fan, is nationalism. You know? And I'll take that Knicks thing right there. I'm a Knicks fan. The reason why I'm a Knicks fan is because I was from New York. And as a child, I watched my stepfather and my uncles and all of them watching these games, and I got used to watching them. So we're all susceptible to get sucked into that nationalism. You know, it's a lot of people, you know, they'll tell you, man, you know, I'm from here, I'm from there, and they speak about it proudly. But every one of the places we're talking about is racist as fuck. And our people are dying in them places. And ain't nothing being, you know, really done. We come out and every fourth or fifth murder, we decide we want to say something. And they still don't do shit. Obama, oh, you got to make the politicians uncomfortable. Motherfucker, we should have started with you. You the one we should have made uncomfortable because your face is what made us comfortable thinking that you would take care of some shit and you took care of nothing. We're two black attorneys general. He was more worried about everything else but us. So, you know, I hate to sound like I'm angry, but that's because angry don't even begin to touch where I'm at with it. It really don't. You know, I'm watching George Zimmerman, you know, sign bags of Skittles and sell the gun that he shot one of ours with just because he couldn't take the ass whooping that that young boy put on him. And believe me, Trayvon put it on him. If you saw the mug shots and all the other shit, you know, he put it on him. And I'm sitting here watching us just act like it's, you know, oh, it, you know, still waiting for somebody else to do it. And if we don't do it, it ain't going to get done. It ain't going to get done. And if we don't change the way we looking at this shit and the way we dealing with it, well, it ain't stopped anyway. I mean, don't you think it's ironic that, you know, damn near 20 days, going on 3 weeks of rioting over police brutality, and look at how much brutality we have seen in them 3 weeks. Murders in them 3 weeks. Assaults in them 3 weeks by police. We've seen it. And they didn't give a damn now. Black, white, whatever. Didn't matter. If you was out there, people getting shot, crack that white man's head open like a coconut, like it was nothing, and walk by him, left him laying there. So we need to look at the situation, because if they'll do that to them, then what makes you think they give a damn about what's going on with us? With that, I'm going to yield.
Okay, I heard another voice. Someone else on the line?
Peace, Queen.
Hello, Peace. How are you?
Chicago.
Peace. Hey, Brother Mark.
Yeah, I completely, well, first of all, I'd like to praise y'all for the wonderful job, and I love this platform. It sounds like my mother, my aunties, and my sisters talking about us in the background while we're out there watching the games, and y'all in there doing your thing, and you can hear the ladies in the background. And I really love it. I enjoy it, and that's why I'm tuning in the last 2 weeks. And if I could piggyback on what Brother Kevin was talking about, I concur 100%. The anger doesn't begin to describe the emotions that go through me whenever I see and hear of more killing and brutality of our people, our brothers and sisters, and anybody of that matter, for that matter, by the police. And we've seen too many examples over the last 3 weeks of utter excessive force and brutality among not just black people, but that old white man in Buffalo, the white lady in Florida, in Phoenix, and of course the young brother last night, Mr. Brooks, can't remember his first name offhand, but and as Kevin so eloquently stated, they were talking with him for 45 minutes. At some point within those 45 minutes, it was overkill, and they were fucking with him. And they could have just taken his keys and let him walk instead of getting back behind the wheel, because it was obvious that he was inebriated. Under what substances, we'll never know until autopsy is performed and released. But again, it was pointless, and it was pointless to extrajudicially kill that young man running away from the police. And that seems to always be the case with us, whereas white offenders like Dylan Roof and others get Burger King and flak jackets, protective clothing to keep them safe and warm. So I have to express my how upset I am with this, and it feels like there's sometimes you need some comic relief, and you need to turn off the news and go somewhere just to get some relief and to decompress, if you will. And so what I do typically is, again, turn off the news, no social media or nothing, and then I go and watch some comedy, some stand-up comedy, black stand-up comedy, for that matter. And I also want to, if I could plug, if anybody hasn't seen it, I recommend watching the 30-minute Dave Chappelle, 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Really compelling.
Oh, I saw it. Oh, yes.
Very compelling, and it was, with all seriousness, it was again very compelling, but there were some snippets of comedy in there, with it being Dave Chappelle, and he knows how to make light of something very serious, but still stay within the context of the subject matter. Also, I was speaking of comedy. I was reminded when you mentioned earlier, Vanessa, about with black folks going to black businesses and trying to get a deal, trying to get half off and all that shit. And it reminded me of that scene in that movie, I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, when Chris Rock walks in and asks Isaac Hayes, "How much for one rib?"
With a pocket full of money.
He had a horse amount of money, talking about how much for one rib, and you know, that's us, that's our people, and again, going back to the absolute changing of the mindset as far as this boycott is concerned, and you've got to be all in with this. If you don't change the mindset, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. I mean, yeah, can you make an immediate effect? with 30 days of boycott? Absolutely. But again, with a sustained boycott and the changing of the mindset with the people and the sacrifice that has to be made in order to do that, I think a sustained boycott can be so effective. And unfortunately, I'm getting some negative feedback from people, sources in my circle that are saying that boycotts won't do anything because we don't have a network, because we don't have any money as a people, boycott won't work. I'm quoting, we have no money as a group. Boycotts mean nothing. And that's unfortunate, but, you know, there's going to be a fringe amount of people in our community that we won't be able to change, that will always be compliant to their own demise. And that's really unfortunate. However, if we can create in our people that mindset and sustain this boycott, it can mean so much as far as closing the gap between racial wealth inequality in this country. And, you know, that's one of the premises of my show as far as economic empowerment and financial responsibility. And I think the racial wealth inequality is a big part of what we're suffering through. And I yield.
If I could just chime in for a quick minute, it's unfortunate that we are in the midst of protests about police violence, and then we're also still in the midst of police violence. I think it says a lot that even while these protests are becoming smaller, they are still happening. And it says a lot that, you know, police still have the audacity to take a man's life. I did see the video of the Rayshard Brooks shooting. I mean, there were some things he did wrong, but did it warrant his death? No. I mean, anybody, if I'm in an altercation with someone and they're running away from me, I'm going to let them run away. You know, they're no longer a threat to me. Unfortunately, no man can outrun a bullet. And I was talking to some of my friends last night, a couple of my friends, and I was telling them, you know, we're being hunted. It doesn't matter whether we comply or not when we have an open enemy. And what we're seeing take place is what the FBI told us years ago, that these different police entities were being overran with white supremacists and KKK members. And we're seeing that because these cops arrive on the scene not to control or patrol. They arrive on scene to hunt. And that's bothersome, that even in compliance. And like I say, did Brother Rayshard comply completely? Well, no. But how many times have we seen white men commit heinous acts, criminal acts, and get a slap on the wrist, just like Dylann Roof walks in a church, prays with people, and then kills them, and then they take him to Burger King. So there's definitely two justice systems, one for us and one for them. So that's, you know, unfortunate, but it's part of America. The boycotting situation, you know, we've been talking about that, and like I say, forever boycott. The longer we boycott, the longer, if we want to make them feel our pain, the easiest, simplest, effortless way to do it is boycott. And I yield.
Okay. We're going to take a brief break, and we will be back in a couple of minutes.
Come on, here we go.
Hello, hello, hello. You're on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Panther Party. You can also call in at 516-387-1261 and then dial 1 to talk. Right now we're talking about boycotting and just trying to keep the momentum and keep the dollar black and also be more militant and more strategic with our endeavors. Does anybody have anything to say?
I actually have a question for you too,
if I could.
No, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. My bad.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
Well, I was just going to ask, you know, from you, Queen's standpoint, you know, and I guess this is a question for each of y'all, but what are y'all's thoughts on boycotting and our reaction to it? You know, I'm kind of curious what y'all's thoughts on it. I know you want it, but why? I mean, what's in it? And I mean, however you wish to answer that is fine, but just kind of would like to hear y'all roll the dice on that for a minute. Just kind of want to know what y'all's thoughts on that is.
Well, for me, I don't think of it more as boycotting as it's just learning a second nature, a nature to life. Just this is something that we need to apply to our lives for the betterment of ourselves and our people. I don't think it should be for one day. I don't think it should be for 1 week. I don't think it should be for 1 month. I think it should be ongoing. And the reason I say this is, you know, there are people out there boycotting, and I'm not looking at it like it's dumb or anything to be boycotting, but it's not really, you know, getting stuff done. So I'm thinking that we need to be more militant, and instead of, like, you know, just boycotting it, I mean, just protesting and rioting, we need to, like, rip our dollars from them. Like, start there. Rip our dollars from them. And then even, you know, some people bring up, well, not all black people own certain things. Well, wherever we're lacking, pick up. We need more black gas stations. That would be a perfect choice to start your business. Open up a gas station. Open up a corner store. Open up a hair store. This is all stuff that we like and we deal with and we pay money for. It shouldn't be that hard, and it shouldn't be looked at as a chore. It should be looked at as something that you like, and it's making you money, and it's helping us. And with that, I yield.
And I agree with her. I'm here in Texas now, but I'm originally from Detroit, and the Arabs and the Chaldeans own like every gas station, every corner store, every liquor store up in there. The Asians got the little restaurants, every doggone where. The nail salons, they take the money, our money, they come to our neighborhood, they don't even business cards. They don't need business cards because they know we're going to spend our money because they right there in the hood, in our hood. That's the only thing that they have there is their business. They're not leaving their business there. When they close the doors, that register closed, and that money goes with them wherever their neighborhood is. Our black businesses, as a matter of fact, I don't even know if me personally, I don't even see the Asians advertising on Facebook or anybody actually, you know, sharing. Because they come to the black neighborhood because they know women got to have their nails done. Damn it, do your nails your damn self. But anyway, there's no business cards or anything. They know that we are going to spend our money. And here we are on Blog Talk Radio trying to get people, trying to get each other to support black businesses. And it's sad that we have to do this, and people, we just not do it anyway. I agree with you as far as the boycott. Shit, boycott every damn day. You know, but it should be in our nature, second nature, first nature, to actually support these businesses 365 days a year, not just when we get pissed, not just when one of the cops or whatever have a knee on
one of our people. We should be doing this anyway. We are the lowest damn people on the totem pole. And we've been there because we can't unite, we can't support one another, and we're going to stay at the bottom of that damn pole, totem pole, until we do something to uplift ourselves. There's few things that I don't do anymore. This is just my personal preference. I became vegan a few years ago because of all the shit they do to the food, not to mention it got me off, you know, some of my medication. I'm not going to lie about that. Got me off my diabetes medication and my cholesterol medication. I stopped dyeing my hair. I stopped putting perm in my hair. I'm embracing my nappy, gray, kinky, curly, whatever hair you want to call it. I'm leaving them doggone products alone. Now, we do have some black hair care products, and I'm going to find them. I've seen some somewhere on one of these pages, you know, that I'll share, because everything for their hair is not good for our hair. So, you know, that's a different story as well. But I think we should continue it as a, not as a boycott, but as a way of living, a damn lifestyle, and just, I don't know, just, I'm tired of seeing our people struggle, you know, and being mistreated, disrespected in these other places, these other businesses, you know. I shared a story before, you know, about New Era Detroit, you know, a little group there in Detroit that police their own little area. You know, the female got disrespected at the beauty supplier, wherever it was, and they boycotted, they protested, people didn't cross the picket line. The Asian guy losing money. What did he do? He put a sale on bundles in the story. Them sisters went and lost their damn mind. They didn't care about the one woman that got disrespected and the reason they were actually out there boycotting. They saw bundles on sale. So they just left it alone. Well, I'm pretty sure the guy still has his store. But this is stuff we shouldn't be going, okay, if you have to have the bundles, let's find some kind of way of getting a black supplier or black beauty supply that can supply our black businesses where we don't have to keep going to these Asians, going to this stuff. You know, if it was one of us disrespecting the other, we wouldn't put up with that bullshit. But as long as they do it, you know, we'll leave, get mad, and as soon as it's time to get more hair or get our nails done again, we're right back in that damn shop. And it is sad, and I'm tired of it. Our people have definitely got to wake up. And I had mentioned on one of our calls once before, I hate the fact I'm 64 fucking years old and I'm just not waking up. But the thing is, I'm going to stay awake. And with that, I yield.
All right, Queen. It's
never too late to wake up.
Pardon me?
It's never too late to wake up.
Thank you, dear. Now, if I can just get the damn alarm to go off in a few other people's heads, and I don't know if any of my friends or relatives are on here listening, but if so, y'all know who I'm talking to because we've had this conversation already. That damn alarm is set for snooze. Stop hitting that damn snooze button and gone and wake the fuck up. You know, it's not getting any better out here, but there's got to be a better way. And if we don't do it, who's going to? You know, they tried the marching. Yeah, the marching is fine. They tried the praying. Yeah, and how'd that work out for us? You know, we've got to save our own asses. You know. We keep talking about Malcolm this, Malcolm that, by any means necessary, but we're still turning around, and I have to, I have to agree with Sister Deidre. We got to get more militant with this shit, you know, but we got to get our shit together first. And on that, I yield.
I'd like to put a suggestion out, if I could.
I'm listening.
Since the common sense got whipped out of us and by policy, you know, pushed out of us, I suggest ass whoopings. I suggest we get the bull whip and we start whooping motherfuckers that we see spending money with these companies. Let me explain. Us spending money with us is us spending money with us. That isn't really boycotting anything. That's just us spending money within our community, like those other groups that were mentioned earlier, the Jews, the Arabs, the Asians. They spend money with each other. That's why their money is strong. They're able to get businesses going, thriving businesses, and they come right to a group of steady, ready consumers, us. Okay, they don't build this shit in Beverly Hills. You're not going to find an Arab gas station in Beverly Hills. Okay, you're not. Just not going to do it. It's not happening. All right, so, you know, when I say boycott, I mean boycott any of these businesses that have been complicit in our demise. And that's every one of them big box stores. They all donate to the Fraternal Order of Police, Republican Party, the Democratic Party, but how much money do they really put in the communities that they take money out of? None. None. Walmart allowed John Crawford to get shot while he was just a shopper. He was just shopping, and he gets killed in their store. And nobody boycotted Walmart. Not one person. The fact that this young man got killed at Wendy's is people right now waiting in their drive-thru to buy a damn burger. So we have to really look at us way more than we looking at them. You know, white privilege and white supremacy don't work without blacks with low self-esteem, no knowledge of self, and a pocket full of fucking money and no sense. And we do have the money. We do have the money. On a bad year, we spend $2 trillion in this economy. So we have the money. I've seen the lines out there waiting for Jordans. I've seen some of these things, so I know the money is there. The problem is our resolve. And what they did to control us back then was when you fell foul of the, you know, the slave owners or their overseers, then, you know, you got your ass whooped. Maybe that's what we need to do is start fucking people up for not being with us like they ought to, because they're waiting on someone else to fix shit so that they can sit there and say, yeah, look what we did, and ain't raising a finger to help us. And they're supporting these fucking murderers and these companies that support the murderers. You know, so maybe, just maybe, we need to have a renaissance of that fucking bullwhip. Maybe we can whip some sense into these niggas rather than whooping it out. With that, I'm going to yield.
If I could chime in and I'll piggyback on that, Kevin, it seems like I can recall in the story of the origin of the party in 1966. Didn't the brothers go into the hood and beat the drug dealers' asses and take their guns and take their dope?
Yes.
I seem to recall.
Yes,
I know what happened in Chicago.
Quite a bit of what would be deemed criminal activity to raise funds, so to speak. Yes.
Yeah, I know they were in Chicago that the Panthers here were whooping ass particularly the drug dealers, and what was prevalent then. This was way before the crack era. What was prevalent was heroin. And they were jumping on the dope dealers on the west side and the south side. And so to piggyback on what you said, I agree. Maybe that's what needs to really happen in order to get our people's attention to say, you know, we're just not going to take this shit anymore. And if you're complicit in assisting in our demise, then you're going to have to pay a price.
If I could, let me put something on that. Because my problem with what the Panthers were doing at that time was they weren't eradicating these drug dealers. They were allowing them to still sell heroin. And who were they selling heroin to? Our people. So if you're coming to collect money from them, basically you're complicit. Because rather than running their ass out of there or snapping their fucking fingers or something where they couldn't just eat, where it wouldn't have been that easy to bag dope up no more, they allowed them to continue with that type of behavior. And I'm not going to, if I'm determined to, you know, I have to give the Nation of Islam props for a couple of things that they did. When Spike Lee was filming the movie Do the Right Thing, he was filming it in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. That is a very, very high crime area. Nation of Islam was who Spike Lee went to get to do security. So that while him and, you know, the cast and Public Enemy and the rest of them were there doing the scenes, they didn't have NYPD. They had FOI. And FOI went in there, and actually those drug dealers had to stop selling drugs while the filming of this movie was going on. And they were encouraged not to bring their asses back. Now, that doesn't eradicate the drug problem or the want for drugs or the people out there selling it. And I'm not knocking anybody for doing what they got to do as a black person in America. You got to hustle to live out here. You know, because they got everything in the way for you to succeed. Everything. So to overcome it, yes, it is a triumph. But I have a problem when you are complicit in our demise, no matter what your stance is on our situation. And to me, to take their money and not insist that they don't sell that poison in the neighborhood anymore, I don't even know what to call that, but it damn sure ain't empowerment. With that, I'm going to yield.
Spike Lee did the same thing when he filmed that movie Chi-Raq here in Chicago. He enlisted the services of FOI, NOI rather, and particularly on the South Side, because that's where they made the movie, on the South Side. FOI was enlisted as security, and not CPD, not Illinois Sheriffs or any other police entity in the state. So I guess he was using the same example here as he did in New York. And consequently, I got married in Bed-Stuy in 1984. So I know a little something about that area.
Man, shoot, them projects was made. It was all you could smell then was gun smoke, crack smoke, cigarette smoke, and gun smoke. That was it.
My wife lived in Left Rack. She lived in Left Rack City.
Left Rack City. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Well, I
just
want to
say.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Queen. Go for it.
I'm sorry. Other than the buying black and stuff, there's some other things that we really need to be demanding now that we somewhat got their attention with this boycotting and starting to rebel. Like, we need to talk about either reforms or being able to govern ourselves and breaking ourselves apart from them, or having no taxes, or being able to pick our health care, including holistic health care, because I know that they don't like holistic health care because that actually heals. And then sometimes that's not an option on your basic state welfare insurance. Also, our education and reparations and land, if people do want to stay here or do they want to go make the pilgrimage back to Africa, I think this is the time to start demanding for real our rights that we need, that we want. And with that, I yield.
Which rights are we fighting for, though?
I think that we need to, as messed up as it sounds, because I have mixed needs and stuff, we completely need to just separate ourselves from that whole system, to be honest. And I think a lot of us need to study the black law, because if we do study that, we'll have more information on how to govern ourselves and how we can go about doing it. And I think that we don't need to be involved in anything with their government, anything like that, education-wise, anything like that. Like how the Amish is set apart from their system, we should be set apart from their system, like that, if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
A nation within a nation.
What was the difference between the Amish and us?
Well, the Amish mostly is that's a mostly white gathering.
Say it a little bit louder. One more time.
That is a mostly white gathering. Yes, and that's it was predominantly.
And what's the other thing that the Amish have that we don't have?
Mm-hmm.
That they were allowed to have that we have had to fight to get. And still don't have land.
Yeah. I mean, we should fight for that as well.
You know, I defy any of you to get in a horse and buggy and try to ride down the freeway right now. Get in a horse and buggy and get on a damn freeway right now. And see how far you get before a cop or somebody comes over and mess with you. The Amish do it all the time. And don't nobody say a damn thing. They drive around them. You see, so we have to look at what we're in. And I totally agree. We do need to separate ourselves on so many levels from this system. But there's no way that they would allow us to do what the Amish do. They would never allow it here. If we thought we had stress now, we really would have some stress then. Living off the grid, not spending money with them, not buying into their technology, none of that. Those white folks were able to do it, and nobody batted an eye. They have made it against the law to collect rainwater in some states. Florida is one of them. They have made it illegal to have solar panels. You can't live off the grid. How are we going to make money if you live off the grid?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying live off the grid like them, but I'm just saying being like a separate just us, like how they're separate from a lot of the things. So I think that's what we're ultimately fighting for is land and our rights and stuff like that. I mean, if it's hard now, yeah, it's going to get harder, but it's worth it. It is worth that fight. We was in slavery for 400-something-odd years. It's not going to be an overnight thing, and that's why I think that because the technology and everything is instant right now, everybody thinks it's instant oatmeal with everything, and it's not. We're going to have to fight tooth and nail for everything. And if you're not with this force, if you're not with the movement, then you need to drop out now because we don't need no weak ties right now. That's a whole nother topic.
Oh, them coons, y'all can stay right where the fuck y'all at. Don't move. I'll be getting to you motherfuckers in a minute.
I'd like to ask a question, or rather get your opinion on the open invitation from the government of Ghana. And as you mentioned earlier, a minute ago, sister, about leaving the country. If we can't purchase land like these other countries have or have our own land like the Amish, the option of leaving and taking the opportunity that's afforded by the government of Ghana. What's your opinion on that?
And with everything, you got to go in there with your 3D goggles on. It sounds nice
that
they're saying that we can come back and we can do so-and-so and whatever over there, but we don't know. We'll go over there and be like, oh, guess what? You're slaves now. Like, we don't know. We're going to walk in there blindly thinking that they're with open arms, and some of these people is the ancestors of the people that sold our people. So how can we really be like, eh, I want to go back, but not know we're going to go in there blindly? We gotta educate ourselves in everything, in every move that we do. With that, I yield. I'm sorry. I yield.
And actually, I will ask this. Ghana got their independence in 1956. The first time I heard them make an offer to the American black was in this new millennium. So what happened? What was the change? Why the shift? Why now?
Exactly.
Why now? That's the question I would have to ask. Plus, most of us ain't good at dealing with a pit bull. So how the hell are we going to be somewhere where there's lions and black mambas and elephants,
mm-hmm.
rhinos, all this other shit that we're definitely not used to? Doesn't mean we couldn't
yeah.
get used to it, but I like to take a walk at night. I'd like to make it home. You know?
Yep,
and I'm willing to run to a pit bull, but I don't know what I'm going
to
do if a black mamba decides to put me in his sights or if some lions or some other shit is out. Because, I mean, see, you're taking us, if we put ourselves into a hostile, and that's what it would be for us in the beginning, would be a hostile environment. Sure, you can live in the urban areas, and they do have urban areas. They're not all jungle and all of that. I get it, you know. And I'm not knocking their offer. I'm just saying, you know, there's some of us like myself who feel invested here, who feel like my people's blood is in this ground. My people's hands, you know, help build this. So I don't feel like I should have to abandon this because while I may be African in, you know, bloodline, I'm here. My people have been here generations. And I do know this too. While I love, you know, being bloodlined to Africa, I do also realize that being, especially living in New York, I remember how some of these Africans were worse than whites when it came to picking us up. They wouldn't even pick us up in the cabs. I got into a point where I actually started robbing these motherfuckers for a while. For a free ride. Hey, brother, take me to Harlem. Oh, I don't go to Harlem. Clack, clack, you going now. Let's go. Brother. You know, so I have to look at the fact that when I can't figure out whose side you on, then I immediately know you're not on my side.
Mm.
So I'm
mm-hmm.
not sure how I would feel about that, but for those who wish to do that, and for those who are, because it's not a cheap trip to Africa. It was cheap to get.